It is Wednesday, September the 11th of 2024. The time is 8:07. Currently at our studios in downtown Wausau, fair skies, temperature of 60 degrees. Beautiful start here in north central Wisconsin. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Hump Day Wednesday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on 98.9 WXCO, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also join us by going to facebook.com, go to the 98.9 WXCO page and be able to see a video stream of our program and add your questions and comments there as well. Also, if you'd like to join us by either calling or texting us, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to either call or text us. And again, you can also do it through the Civic Media app by downloading the Civic Media app. It is free. Just go to your app store, search Civic Media, download the app, and then you have all 20 of the Civic Media stations and be able to call, text, listen, go to the website, and a whole bunch more. And also, coming up either today or tomorrow, I'm still waiting for the official information to come in and then give you the official details, but we will have another text to win contest, and this time it's even going to take a step forward in terms of the prizes that we have, and it's going to be very, very cool. I cannot give you the details quite yet, but I was told that today, at some point today, we'll get the official details, we'll start talking about it, and we'll give you all the details on what you'll have to do to win. But the first thing you can do right now, because you will have to have the Civic Media app. And so please download that for your opportunity to win. And again, there's going to be some prizes and some prizes I think you're going to be very, very interested in. So again, download that app, text us, call us, and be part of the program. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we're going to be joined by Sean Wright from the Grand Theater, the executive director of the Grand Theater and the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation. We're getting to that time of year, starting the new season and lots of great activities and shows at the Grand Theater. We'll talk about what's happening at the Grand with Sean Wright. Also, get the latest mood of Sean Wright, because he's a big St. Louis Cardinals fan, and he's been very frustrated with the St. Louis Cardinals, and he wants changes, and we're going to see how he's feeling about the Cards as well. But Sean Wright coming up in the second hour of the program. We'll be talking about the presidential debate from last night. We'll talk about what happened 23 years ago today during the course of this program as well, 9/11/2001. But we're also very happy, as it's every other Wednesday, sitting across the way to talk about what's happening around the country, around the state, news and sports and everything else. We're happy to welcome back to the program Bob Look. And Bob, good morning.
Good morning. This is all I have to say.
It's all you have to say.
No, this is...
They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country, and it's a shame.
What the hell was that?
Boy, I'm so glad I didn't watch the debate. I'm so glad I had rehearsal last night, because I don't think I could listen to him talk.
I just wanted to take that one moment. Whereas a human being, you're sitting there, well, you know, watching this, you're giving everyone the benefit of the doubt, you're listening because you want to be informed. And out of nowhere comes this. and thank goodness for the moderator, David Muir, who just went, we've talked to the mayor of the city there, and yeah. He says there's no reports of anything like this even happening. So this is just but it's like it never sunk in his effed up mind. That seems to be pertinent.
And the thing is, it wasn't just him the last couple of days, it was his running mate as well, putting out this garbage. And I found it interesting that J.D. Vance would be part of this after he did all that complaining about the so-called couch story about how, oh, there's no proof. And then somebody put out on social media, well, does that mean then we can just start talking about your little couch issues again? So, I mean, but I found it also interesting, that very clip. I'm glad you played that, because
it's the one that just stands out to me, like, but, what?
But in addition to being just crazy and I think racist and everything else that is Trumpiest of the Trump personality, I found it interesting that was the moment he got most animated. Like that was
that
like
fired him up.
That fired him up. And if you looked at Vice President Harris, what fired her up were actual issues. But him, it was this craziness that got him going. And when he was asked about real issues, he didn't get fired up. He was just trying to avoid it and bring it all back to the border.
First of all, real issues like, for instance, complaining about the ACA, the quote unquote Obamacare. It's terrible. It's the worst thing it could ever done. I says, and I want to replace it immediately. Well, gee, you've had 9 years. What is your replacement? Well, I have some certain, thoughts. How many thoughts are you going to have? And they never put it down on paper or even put it out there as something that can be digested by, or maybe using the word digested, talking about people eating cats and dogs. And it's wrong. But what I'm saying is, where is the substance? That old TV ad that was, where's the beef? You're just going, where's the common sense? Where's the matching your thought process to the American public on how to try to solve problems and make things better for the people that you're serving?
If you would like to join our conversation, what did you think last night, folks out there? We'd love to hear from you. Again, you can call us up at 715-382-9297. Talk to the very friendly voice of Ian Welsh. He'll hook us up and get you on the air. Again, 715-382-9297. And again, as well, you can text us at that very same number if you just want to give your thoughts that way, 715-382-9297. And, of course, you can also use it through the Civic Media app. One moment right at the very beginning that I thought she got already basically under his skin was she went over there and shook his hand.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was, and you could see on his face, he was shocked.
Well, not only did he go over and shake his hand, which is the normal courtesy human type thing you do in a respectable and also, thriving democracy.
Exactly.
But not only, she came not just halfway on the set, all the way towards his election, and to make sure that he wasn't mistaken who she was, she says, her name, that's Kamala Harris. Nice to meet you. And it was like, what are you doing on my side of the stage? And I just kind of sat back in my chair and I'm like, okay, I can see where this is, it's going to be like someone's going to be taking the reins and discussing what is concerning to people, and another is thinking that this is just another rally.
And the thing as well is, any great lawyer, you know what the biggest secret to their success is? Preparation.
Prep.
And it came across every single time that she talked that she was prepared to the gills for whatever he would throw at her and also whatever the moderator would ask about. And I thought that was so incredibly impressive. She came across as somebody that knew backward and forward every single issue and actually tried to answer the questions. And again, that's Trump wouldn't answer the questions. He would just pivot to whatever he wanted to talk about. And she would actually try to, at the very least, answer the questions. And I thought, again, preparation. It came across, I thought, the folks that worked with her to get ready, and herself, obviously, I thought was, again, showed the ability. And I think that's one of the things that she needed to do last night. I think that the resume has been there, but for the American people to actually see this person that is so prepared, I thought it was just fantastic in that respect.
Yeah, well, again, I'm saying, and I've said before on this airwaves and talked about it, I believe in the American people and common sense. However, there is a group of people out there that makes no difference to, what they saw, because what they saw was, first of all, a woman. And for some folks out there, that disqualifies immediately. Second, a woman of color. Oh, that's another, negative marks. It's one of those things that's there. We all know it's there, but people have a hard time expressing it and saying it out front. And you have to shrug your shoulders and say, well, that's what they're going to believe in. you're not going to change their minds. But the people that she was talking to were the quote-unquote undecideds, the ones who were thinking that, well, maybe they supported Trump in the past and whatever. You know, people have their own way of coming to a decision, and that's what the democracy is. When you get into that voting booth, and you've heard me say this before how many times, that solidarity that we all feel is that we're in that booth by ourselves in our own thoughts, our own opinions, and we're putting down our decision on whether you're for or against, guilty, not guilty. You know, it's your own thing. No one has to know how you voted. People can guess what you voted or assume that that's how you voted. But the point still being, it's still in your friendly confines of your booth, and you're putting in your 2 cents worth. That's democracy. And that is what is, I think, separating this candidacy of the vice president and the candidacy of the former president. You've been there, you've seen that, you've heard his stuff, and now you had an opportunity to listen to from her herself, knowing that she's her own person, because she is.
Absolutely. And again, it was, I think, enlightening in a number of different ways. We'll continue taking your thoughts on the presidential debate last evening. Democracy, again, on the ballot coming up in November. And I think there's a coming together. You know, that last night we saw our candidates for president on stage. And today, many folks right now are remembering what happened 23 years ago, an attack on democracy and our way of life that we are acknowledging again here today. We'll talk about that coming up as well. The time is 8:19 here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Again, you can always catch us online at bullfallsradio.com, through mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and of course as well through the free Civic Media app. The time is 8:20. Normally at this time, we have an opportunity to talk to Brittany Berlow. Our meteorologist is a bit under the weather again today.
I heard.
Yeah, she went up north last week. She was late last week. Said she was heading up north towards Duluth Superior.
Yeah.
And apparently, whatever fun she had, she came back and was not feeling good. In fact, she went to the hospital yesterday.
Oh,
so again, so she's just trying to get back to 100%, and hopefully she'll be back very, very soon. Real quickly, another beautiful start. You know, a few clouds out there, but again, a lovely start. We're expecting mostly sunny skies and a high near 81 today. Then mostly sunny, 83 tomorrow. Mostly sunny, 81 on Friday. And then partly sunny and 78 on Saturday. So again, if you are somebody that's hanging on to the last days of summer, you got some real good opportunities here to get out there and enjoy it.
Plus, we do have a message from one of our viewers. It was a nice hello message for Bob here.
What does it say, Ian?
Well, it says, hi, Bob, look, from Carla Ludholz.
Ludholz. Oh, yeah, Carla, sure.
Thank you for sending that message, Carla.
Yeah, she guested when I was subbing for you. She works for this company that helps philanthropists, you know. She's been doing that work for so long. She was part of the American Cancer Society for a long time. My wife and myself hooked up with her with the Relays for Life to raise money for the American Cancer Society back in the late 90s, okay? That's when we first, you know, got together. So, yeah, she's a wonderful, wonderful human being, and glad to have her listening in.
Absolutely. Yeah. One point, again, I was very impressed with last night, and I just mentioned it to it off air, is when Kamala Harris pointed out accurately Donald Trump's history of racism. And I said to you that the whole story behind the dogs and the cats and everything else, at its core, comes from a point of a deeply racist individual. And he has a lifetime of a record of racist thoughts, racist actions, and racist behavior. You go back to him and his father being fined for racist housing practices in New York City back in the early 1970s. And I thought the vice president pointed out that he had put out a full-page ad in the New York Times trying to get five young African-American men executed for a crime that ultimately they were proven to be innocent, that he was the leader of the birtherism for the first African-American president of this country. And you said it, and I said people just sometimes are very fearful of bringing up those kind of facts. And you said, yeah, no, you're not afraid to. And you said, because last time, I think it was the last time, Your Honor, or previous times, about, you know, Mandela Barnes and him not being a senator. Sometimes we have to, the old MTV Real World said, sometimes you have to stop being polite and start being real.
And I'm going to tell you, from my perspective, again, I'm no youngster. I'm you know, senior citizen. I was born and raised in the south side of Milwaukee. And I'm not here to sit there and tell everybody everything was just peachy keen and everything was wonderful. No, there was racism, and there was, you know, through that, you know, and like through the generations, and wasn't black and white in those, like, my parents' years or their parents' years, but it was also ethnic, where the Polish people were not considered, you know, smart enough to and it sounds funny now. You think, oh, this couldn't have been that. Yeah, it was that way.
Right.
And why do you think the phrase, and I'm just using this because it's context, the old phrase of dumb Polak mm-hmm. comes from?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not anything of being a positive,
right?
But because those, there were tough jobs out there that needed to be done, and it was the people who migrated to this country willing to take those tougher jobs, harder jobs, work hard, build a better life for their families, and that went through the Irish, through the Polish population, and now, you know, going back to, you know, situation here in the Wausau area with the Hmong community, you know, people who basically in their home area were pushed out from the violence and the warfare that was going on there, and they found a new place to apply their expertise, their crafts, and their efforts to make this a better community. This is what America is all about, folks. This isn't, you know, like it's one size fits all type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I believe in diversity is the strength of this country. It's the strength of who we are, is that we welcome all who are willing to work hard, play by the rules, and all work together to make it a better society. That's all we're trying to do. That's all I'm trying to do.
Right.
Why is it so hard for people to accept that?
Well, and also, though, I do think that sometimes it has to be said out loud.
Yes.
I think that, I mean, if you don't say it out loud, if you don't say that Donald Trump has a record of racism that shows that he is a racist, we tiptoe around it. And frankly, again, when you look at the timeline of his popularity within the Republican Party, where did it start? When he brought up Barack Obama's birth certificate.
Yeah.
I mean, is that
questioning whether he was a U.S. citizen?
And he kept saying, and it's so much like what we heard last night in so many different ways. He always would say, "I have the evidence. We're gonna let you know in a week.
I have some very good investigators.
Right. We're gonna bring it to you in the next couple of weeks. We have." You know, we're going to hold a big I mean, again, it never occurred. This guy is the biggest charlatan in the world, and yet we're still at this point in 2024 that he is up there.
The Affordable Care Act is the worst thing that's ever been happening in this country. I'm going to find a better, you know, way of providing health care to whoever. Well, what, any details about your replacement? It's been like 9 years. Well, I have some possible things to talk about and consider. No. And again, we can.
It's a blowhard. It's the bottom line. Whether it's saying that he could in 24 hours end the war in Ukraine, I mean, he just is a blowhard, and it comes over every single time he's in a situation like he was last night. And I guess, you know, there's a lot of controversy, and sometimes whether or not we should listen, you know, whether or not we should have, you know, see his rallies, or at the same time, I think there's times we need to hear exactly what he thinks.
And
I thought last night was one of those situations.
And if anyone was listening with the attentiveness needed, you wondered, and like I said, just playing that one piece that I played there, you go, where's he going with this? Common sense tends to, you know, get us back straightened out and going, enough of that. Let the adults work the room.
Exactly. He's Bob Look. I'm Chad Holmes. Coming up, we have an information update. I'm sure we'll get more reaction and news from the debate with our CBS News update. Terry Bell will be back with our Wisconsin News update. And then we'll also have local news and weather. And Jimmy Kuska, sitting in for Mike Clemens, will have our sports, including a 3-2 Brewer win last night, which we'll talk about later on. But coming up after our information update, we'll talk about 9/11 and the anniversary being acknowledged today. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, along with Bob Look here on this day. Bob, we have a couple of text messages that have come in. Julie from Wausau said, thank you for connecting the attack on our democracy on 9/11 to the current one. I was afraid today's discussion on the debate would drown out our remembrance. And also of that day, but this was a very good point, and Kamala was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And obviously, part of the planning for this morning was to talk both about last night and also talk about 23 years ago today.
Yeah.
And before you start talking, going on in fact already this morning, and something that is, I think, a positive is that both President Biden and Vice President Harris, along with Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, all in New York City. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I mentioned the fact that Kamala Harris had shook Donald Trump's hand. They actually shook hands again this morning at the Remembrance in New York City. So again, for a few moments to be able to come together as a country.
And the cameras.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I know, Bob. I'm doing my best to be above the fray here.
For the cameras.
But again, they are remembering in New York. There'll be remembrances in Pennsylvania coming up at the Pentagon as well. And it does seem like yesterday, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and it doesn't. But the one thing I wanted to tie in is the localism of, say, Wausau. In my life, you know, that you dealt with it too. You know, you were part of the media, but I was working on this frequency.
Mm-hmm.
1230 AM, WXCO was the station, but the FM sister station was not the one that's, you know, here now, 98.9. It was WYCO radio, Y108, these call 107.9 on the dial. And I was employed at that time, where I was kind of like the local fill-in for news, weather, sports, and whatever on the morning shows on both stations. Now both of them were on the satellite.
Right.
WXCO was an ESPN affiliate, and it did the Mike in the Morning show on the All Sports Radio show. And on the FM side, they had Bob and Sherry for this adult contemporary music, but it was a man and woman, morning team, and I'd be doing the local inserts. Well, you know, during I'm doing my work, and all of a sudden somebody, I think Bob and Sherry, mentioned that, we had a report that a commuter plane or a small plane had run into the World Trade Center. And I kind of perked up, you know, and I was in my room, and we had an adjacent room. Now, this is the old building on where we used to be located for WXCO, mm-hmm. up on
East North, Wausau.
Yeah, East Wausau Avenue there. And so right in one of the, there was a 13-inch black and white television that was just sitting there.
Right.
So I unplugged it and I pulled it over to the where I was working and to turn it on, right, to see what's happening on that story. And Mike and Mike hadn't really made any mention of it because they're focused on the sports deal. Nothing was that important. But I had the TV on, and it was right about at this time. It was right in the 8, the 9, getting closer to 9. And I'm watching the TV and then just kind of going through some copy and that. And I was watching and it was just showing the burning building. But then all of a sudden I saw that shot of the World Trade Center building and the size of the hole that was, and they kept saying it was a small single engine or commuter plane. Okay. And I saw that hole. I said, that's no small plane. That's a full-fledged jet airliner, right? Now my wheels are starting to fly in my head. That's weird because it's a beautiful day in New York. I mean, they're showing it. It was sunny. It was blue skies, no fog, nothing. How could something like that happen? And as I'm watching the screen with the sound down, I see the second plane hit the other tower.
Mm-hmm.
And I just gasped. I just, and there was this moment where I was like, this is really serious. So before I even thought about that, I thought about my loved one. I thought about my wife who was back at work at the bank. I called her up. I called up the phone and she answered, Marathon Savings Bank, this is Diane. Honey, we're at war. And she goes, what? I said, we're at war. Oh, yeah, well, we have one of our customers mention something about a plane. It's a lot worse than that. You're going to have a weird day, a wild day at work, because there's probably going to be people running to the banks and doing stuff. I have to get to work here because this is a story that's, we got to get to it. Well, anyway, so Bob and Sherry, they started, they're finishing their deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the station's going to go to its just music format type of thing. And Mike and Mike now transfers it over to the guy who was on after him. It was Tony Kornheiser, mm-hmm. who had the talk show after that, 9 o'clock. And he was in Washington, D.C., so he's at his late, and so now I'm doing the local breaks, and says we'll have the latest information. Well, Tony Kornheiser in the middle of his at the beginning of his show, that's when the plane hit the Pentagon in Washington D.C. And now everyone is thinking there's going to be planes just dropping all over the place,
mm-hmm.
and so Kornheiser, they basically evacuated him and that from the radios, so now ESPN radio is kind of like they're on automatic pilot, and so they kind of went in the direction of, well, they're affiliated with ABC,
mm-hmm.
so they basically punched into ABC News. So the AM side, 12:30, we had that on early on Y108. I'm saying, and they're just going through the music and a I says, we can't have this. We got to get the in. So they had those old patch cords, mm-hmm. where you could patch in different satellite channels into your program line.
Yep.
So I patched in the ABC, Peter Jennings, ABC News, and put it right on the FM music stage. Yep. Totally took the music off the air because I knew this was something that was very important to have on the public airwaves. And just for the heck of it, I flipped over to the, quote, news station here in Wausau. And they still had, live.
Rush?
Well, no, Rush didn't start later. Until later. Yeah. But they had the local stuff. And everyone was totally oblivious to what's happening. And so I just did this on my own. There's nobody telling me any management or what have you. But anyway, I thought it was that important to get that out to the public that quickly. And, well, as fate would have it, it was. It was something that was very, very important and people needed to know. Going a little further that morning, the manager of the stations at that time, won't use any names, I'll just, the GM, comes in a little after 10, about 10:15. Comes in and he had some maybe breakfast meeting or something, which, you know. And he was obviously listening not to us, but he was listening to
competition.
And then he finally heard them mention it there. And he comes marching into the studio while I'm sitting here like balancing 15 plates on these sticks, you know, trying to keep this thing, making it good radio and informative, mm-hmm. not too repetitive, but I mean, this is important stuff. And he comes walking, still totally oblivious of what we were doing. He goes, "Hey, have you mentioned anything about that those planes hitting the building?" And I just looked at him, kind of like Kamala Harris looked at like, what do you think I've been doing here for the last year? He was totally oblivious to it. And then I kind of threw the magic line where I said, "And you're out there trying to sell advertising time on your stations? You didn't even know what's going on here?" Anyway, continued on working that day. And everyone's whole thought process hurt. We were a hurt area, a hurt country. And there was a high school football game that was scheduled that Saturday afternoon involving Stevens Point High School and Wausau West. And there was discussion between the schools whether they wanted to, you know, play the games or not.
Mm-hmm.
By, I think it was Thursday, or maybe it might have been even early Friday, they finally decided, because some of the schools did cancel. They didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't cancel the Saturday game. So I went there to do that broadcast of Stevens Point hosting Wausau West High School football. And we're doing the broadcast, you know, doing it and doing pregame interviews and everything else. But the one thing I noticed is that the crowd in the stands were filled, parents and that. Everyone was cheering for everybody. Mm-hmm. There was no "ooh" or anything. It was right. Like everything. And you know, as I know, that the national anthem gets played, you know, the band or whatever, the national anthem. And we normally take a break for commercials because we got a lot of commercials to clear. Because, frankly, it doesn't sound good because this is the old phone line. It wouldn't sound that good. So instead, when we got to the national anthem part, and I introduced it, "Well, folks, normally we break for commercials, but I think it's rather important that we hear this right now."
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the crowd mic, you know, jacked up, and the band from Stevens Point started playing, and it was like a glee club. Everybody at Gerke Field were just singing at the top of their lungs. "Oh, say, can you see?" I mean, I just sat there and listened to it, you know, through my headphones, thinking, you know, anyone listening to this, if they're feeling it, because you could hear the people, because the microphone could hear the people right in front of the microphones, and mm-hmm. they're just
belting it out.
And after the song ended, there was like a brief pause. Instead of just a cheering before it ends, mm-hmm. there was a brief pause, and then it was just the most loud cheering and then chants of USA mm-hmm. in that. And then once it kind of subsided, I says, "I think we all needed to hear that right about mm-hmm. now." And then I took a commercial break before we got to the opening kickoff, and off we went. But that's how something like that is so etched in my head. And I'm sure there's some people out here listening right now who were at that game as Wausau West, either parents or maybe participated in it.
Yeah.
It's something they probably don't forget either.
The country did change, and that's a very, you know, people say that, "Oh, thanks." I remember very shortly after that, I don't know, maybe a week or 2 weeks then, I was at home, and I was, you know, just following this all the time, and it was like, I'm thinking, man, I wish we could go back to last week. I mean, because it was a fundamental change.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it really was. And frankly, it's been a fundamental change that's lasted 23 years. I mean, the world that we had on September 10 of 2001 and the one that we've had ever since then has been a very different one.
I was just thinking, leading up to that, I mean, just less than a month before that, the Wisconsin Woodchucks, what they were called back then, not Wausau Woodchucks, but Wisconsin, won their first championship. And I did all their games and mm-hmm. all that, you know, celebration and everything, you know, that was so cool. And less than a month later comes this.
Yeah.
And it was like
it happened in a different era.
Yeah, it there was the before 9/11 and now it's the after 9/11, and it's a different thing.
It certainly is. And you think about it now, you know, I see all these kids all the time. They were all born so well after 9/11 2001. Yeah. I mean, it just really is. The many people, it's like many people who were born just after Pearl Harbor.
So I mean, some of you folks who remember that time, I'm sure you have your own certain memories of that particular time.
Yep. So again, everybody, 9/11, 23 years ago, at this almost moment.
Yeah, same radio station. Exactly. Here I am again.
We'll be right back. The time is 8:49 here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes with you here on 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Talking to Bob Look, and always try to wrap it up a little bit lighter, talk a little bit of sports, because I know you keep a tight eye on the crew. You have your Brew Crew review on your Facebook page. And again, I, you know, watching recently, especially the past weekend where they had trouble with Colorado, and just, you know, it's been sort of a, you know, up and down kind of for the Brewers. Not any real long losing streaks, no real long winning streaks. They've been sort of maintaining. They're still 8.5 games ahead of Chicago. But your general impression on where the crew is right now as we head to the final weeks of the regular season?
Getting to the finals. And the next days, next 2 weeks are going to be how they're going to play that final part of the week or of the season, how that last week is going to be played. If they are reasonably within the chance of taking over either the first and or second spot in the National League to get the off of as far as the first series, mm-hmm. the wild card series, that I'm sure is something that they think is really important. These next games this week here, the games in San Francisco and the games in Arizona, are going to be very important to set that table. If the Brewers get through this point and they get like to a 4-2, okay, win both series type of a outcome, then I could see them pretty much playing it straightforward and trying to overtake Philadelphia and or the Dodgers for the top record in the National League. With that said, you know, the Brewers came out of the box, you know, last night in the first inning, really hitting the ball on the screws. They really, and I'm going, all right, that's more like it. Well, then he's kind of slipped back into that that slump area. But again, it's win games, win series, and that's how the playoffs are. It's not a one game type of thing. You win the series, win the wild card series, win what, and the World Series means the championship. Another thing that I threw on my Facebook page was the little report from reporting from the New York Post about the streaming, that maybe Brewer games and Milwaukee Bucks games will only be available through the streaming service. So having it on your cable system or having it on DirecTV, which I don't have ESPN now. And look, I'm still alive. I haven't had ESPN or its channels on the whole time. And gosh, I'm still alive.
You haven't started rioting yet.
No, I'm. Oh, you know what? I found other places where I can get the information. And it's like, and you know, it's kind of nice to look at other people, you know, presenting the information. And DirecTV, I have DirecTV, and you know, they're offering, you know, some rebates and that stuff. And I basically sent my payment, and I just put a little note in there saying, I'm standing by you guys. You know, and as long as ESPN wants to sit there and think that they're so, well, guess what? I can live without them. I'll continue your business because you're going to find out some way to maybe some other partners. But I just am so that they're going to squeeze even more out of, especially people who are retired,
yeah,
fixed incomes, low income people. Well, we don't need them type of an attitude.
Right.
There's a lot of people out there, especially on the senior citizen side. This is like their daily daily soap opera.
And the thing about
the Brewers do tonight?
And they're actually, you know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's Oakland and I think maybe some others that either have or have discussed, hey, you know, it's not worth the cost of doing radio anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and again, you talk about folks who, you know, don't have the cable television or even streaming or whatever it may be. The idea that you would take away the radio broadcast is just unforgivable.
Well,
and again, it's spitting on the people that have supported your business for 15, 60 years.
I wrote a comment on the particular article that I shared, and I made the comment that, well, actually, it was a story about the Brewers. You know, that it's so important to have the fans in the stands to cheer us on here for this. I said, well, if you really want to hurt your fan in the stands numbers, stop the easy access of your games and your product to the people out there who can't afford to have season tickets, who can't afford to go to the ballpark maybe more than once or twice a year, maybe not even at all. But they'll, you know, they'll follow the team and they'll be fans. They'll buy merchandise. Mm-hmm. There are, but don't sit there and cut them off, because if you want to see, I remember when they came back after that strike, and all those empty seats and all those major league ballparks.
People could live without it.
They learned that they did not need it.
Yep. Let me ask you real fast in the last couple of moments, because you follow baseball for such a long time. What's your take on the Chicago White Sox?
Bad.
But this is a major market team, and I understand that sometimes you. But it wasn't that long ago they went through a rebuild in order to have a glorious new era. They're going to win some championships, and now they're so quickly back to ultimately the worst team. Unless they play some really good baseball the last few weeks, they will break the record of the 62 Mets. Jerry Reinsdorf, Bud Selig's close buddy, those were the two guys that were the impetus for the 1994 strike. I think there's something that's sort of bigger there than that. I don't know, maybe.
Also can go back to the 60, 67, 68, that the Chicago White Sox were this close, inches away from being the Milwaukee White Sox, or they would have changed the name.
They played like 8 games a season there for a couple years.
Yeah, regular season games.
And they actually, in those 8 games, had a huge percentage of their season attendance came from those Milwaukee games.
Yeah. And I was there for those games, too, as a kid. And I
believe it was they played every team in the American League once in Milwaukee.
Right. Yeah, part of their home series.
But you got a chance to see everybody in the American League once in Milwaukee.
Yeah. But that's the one thing. Don't slap the fans around. Fans are smart people.
I know.
And when you're trying to get, you know, drain more blood out of them as far as finance backing, forget it.
You know, and all these sports, doesn't it seem as though the more money that comes in, the more need for them to get more money? I mean, it's like this never ending.
Packer game on Friday, I didn't go any place to see it, and I didn't subscribe.
It was dead to me.
Yeah.
It was dead to me.
Because I knew the NFL Network was going to replay it.
There you go.
On the following day. I can always watch another day.
Bob, thanks for coming in again. We'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Take care.
Bob, look, we'll have Sean Wright in the next hour.
See ya, Ian.
And a whole bunch more.
Take care, Bob.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.